On Sunday, we went through the introduction to what Shemitah is all about, what it represents, what are the lessons of Shemitah. We also mentioned that a person shouldn't get nervous when it comes to the halachas of treating Kedusha Shviyas, Peiris, and Yerokos, which is what obviously we're going to be dealing with mainly today. It sounds like it's a lot of halachas, it sounds like it's complicated. It's really not complicated, you get used to things, everything becomes a normal practice of life. Number one. Number two, it's a schos, as we mentioned previously as well, a tremendous schos that we have to be here in Eretz Yisrael and to treat the Kedusha Shviyas, Peiris, and Yerokos with the correct respect, whatever it requires, as we mentioned previously. So let's discuss Be'ez Hashem today. Let's go to the main halachas, what are nageya in a person's kitchen when you buy Peiris and Yerokos of Kedusha Shviyas. So before we start that, again, something that we mentioned last week, but just to make it very, very clear, and that is when you're buying certain things in the makolet or in the shops, what are you buying? So we mentioned, if you're buying from Chutz Laretz or you're buying from things that grew during the sixth year, there's nothing to worry about. There's no Kedusha Shviyas at all. The halachas that we're going to mention today do not apply to those items. If you buy something that has what we call Yibul Nochri, which is Peiris and Yerokos that were grown on a ground that belonged to a goy, that's not got confused with Heter Mechira. Heter Mechira means that they actually sold it for the year of Shemitah to a goy. We're not talking about that. Most of the items that we're going to be buying in this area will not come from Heter Mechira. But what you do find is Yibul Nochri, which means it was grown by a non-Jewish person. So for example, the Bedat Eidus Haredus, where their shita is that the Minig Yerushalayim was always to be Mekel, and Kach is the Harachara of Rav Poiskim, Hagoyin Rav Yisrael Orbach told me as well, Ramon Chafrilander from the Bedats as well, that the Minig in Yerushalayim was always to be Mekel. We mentioned last time, there are those that are Machmir. Again, each person should decide for their own if they want to be Machmir or not. The Minig was to be Mekel. There are those that are Machmir. But if you're treating it with not Kedusha Shviyas, so Peiris Nochri also not going to be Kedusha Shviyas, and therefore what we're discussing today is not applicable to Peiris Nochri. However, Oitza Beistin, which is obviously the main halacha, which is Negea, Oitza Beistin, as we explained last time, means I'm not actually buying the avocado or the cucumber, I'm simply sending the Beistin as a shliach to go and buy it for me and bring it to me, and I'm paying him for the work that he does, not for the actual produce, which is why we hope it's considerably cheaper than a regular avocado and a cucumber in a regular year. So that will obviously require Kedusha Shviyas. That means if you buy from an Oitza Beistin, it will require Kedusha Shviyas. We have to mention again something we mentioned last time, and that is according to the Ramban, even though we do not paskin this way, the Ramban holds that you are makayim a mitzvah every time you eat Peiris and Yerokos with Kedusha Shviyas. Now we don't paskin that way, but says the Chazon Ish, again, we've mentioned this before, the Chazon Ish says if a person eats fruits and vegetables that are of Kedusha Shviyas, then he's mekayim rotzon hatorah. Tremendous, tremendous things that are going on when a person buys these things. So again, it's always good to remember, if we can, even if you can't buy something completely, someone came to me recently, he's got a bunch of kids, what's he going to do with Shmita? So I told him, like I mentioned, is that, you know, maybe you can buy things from Chutz Laretz in the sixth year, maybe you can buy from Peiris Nochri and Bimekel, but at least buy one thing of Kedusha Shviyas to show the kids a little bit of chinuch and to teach yourselves as well some of these so important halachas. So, let's start number one with the halacha of treating Kedusha Shviyas in the proper manner. So number one, the first halacha is kilkel, which means the Torah says that you're only allowed to eat Kedusha Shviyas fruits and vegetables. Lo ichla means to eat. However, to be mafsid, to ruin them in any way, is absolutely asa. And as we mentioned previously, right in the beginning, we mentioned that the yesod is that we're sitting on the Kodesh Baruch Hu's table, we are a guest at the Kodesh Baruch Hu's table, and therefore, just like if you were a guest at somebody's table, you would never dream of taking what he has and throwing it in the bin and ruining it and squeezing it if it's not normally squeezed. And therefore, the same thing applies to the year of Shemitah with all the wonderful fruits and vegetables that have with the Kedusha Shviyas. We have to treat it like we're at the table of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, anything that has good Kedusha Shviyas is not allowed to be ruined in any way. Let's give some examples. As an example, a fellow came to me recently with the shayla. He's preparing himself for Hilchos Shmita, and he said it's very shkiach with the kids if they get worms. So everybody knows one of the eitzes you can do for a child with worms is you take a piece, a clove of garlic, and that scares away, maybe it's the smell, whatever it is, it smells away the worms. The shayla is he allowed to use a garlic that has Kedusha Shviyas? Obviously not. He's ruining it. He's then going to chuck it in the bin. That is considered to be hefsed. That's considered to be ruining it. Another example, mixing it with medicine. Well, maybe by food it's not so applicable. But let's say, for example, by grape juice or wine. Let's say grape juice. You want to give the kids some medicine. You don't want them to taste the medicine. So what you do is you take the medicine, you dip it into some of the Kedusha Shviyas grape juice, which obviously we'll only be getting towards the end of the year or the beginning of even the eighth year. So to mix medicine and Kedusha Shi'is fruits is called a hefsud, and it's a problem, cannot be used. Another example, Kedusha Shi'is wine or grape juice to be used as Havdalah is a problem, not because you can't make Havdalah with it, but the problem is to put the candle out into the wine, into the grape juice, obviously is a problem because nobody's going to eat that grape juice. So again, when it comes towards the end of the year, middle, end of the year, and for sure the beginning of the 8th year, all the bottles of grape juice and wine, which are very, very cheap, Kedusha Shi'is, people like to have them because it's a wonderful mitzvah. However, they cannot be used for Havdalah if you're going to put out the candle. Or, for example, Leil Seder night, when people dip their finger into the cup, into the kreis, in order for the 10 makos to spill everything into the plate, unless you're going to drink the wine that spills out, you cannot do that with the wine. You have to be careful from over there. Another halacha. Eating fruits before they're ripe. So in a regular situation, that wouldn't be a problem. When it comes to Shemitah, you're not allowed to eat any fruit before it's ripe. Say the poskim, what's the problem? The problem is it's ki'ilu, it's like I'm ruining it, even though I'm eating it. However, the poskim say if it's not ripe, there's reasons for this, obviously we can't go into, that taking a raw an apple, or a pear, or a peach, whatever, that's completely raw, it's not ripe yet, it's not fully ripened, is called ruining Kedusha Shi'is foods and must not be done. Another example, people like to make, for example, food sculptures for a kiddush, for something, whatever, to make a nice out of an apple, you make a nice thing, or out of a watermelon, get baskets and prams and all these sorts of things. Again, if somebody will be eating from it, there's no problem. But if the apple will be ruined at the end of it, obviously that will be a problem, and you cannot do that with Kedusha Shi'is. Another example people know is that if you have a smell in the fridge, so one of the advice that they give you is to take a potato and put it into the fridge, and that absorbs all the smell. It's amazing what you learn when you learn Hilchos Shmita. It's take all the smells of the fridge, and it sort of absorbs it into that. Now, obviously you can't do that, because you will be ruining that potato. So again, we get the idea that the yesod over here is we're trying to make sure that we're keeping the fruit and the vegetable in its regular, normal way and not ruining in any way. What's mutter? So for example, let's say a person or a child wants to have a half an apple. Are you allowed to cut an apple in half? Obviously we're talking about Kedusha Shi'is, and the other half is going to go to waste, nobody's going to eat it, you know, you sit on the side of it there and eventually it goes into the bin. Am I mechuyev to eat the other half? Absolutely not. If I right now, or the kid right now wants to have a half an apple, I've got no problem to cut the apple in half, give it to the child, and if the other half goes to waste, that's not my problem. I didn't actually positively waste the half the apple, I took half an apple to eat, the rest of it gets wasted, that's not my problem, I'm not mechuyev to eat. Obviously if you can eat the other half, that's wonderful, but you don't have to eat the other half, meaning you're not mechuyev. Also this is a mistake that people make with Hilchos Shmita. They think they've got to finish every single crumb on the plate. They go to people's houses, even if in your, as we always mentioned, even if you're not in your own house, you're not going to keep Shmita so much. But if you go outside your house, you eat in other people's houses, for sure if you go outside Yerushalayim and they're getting paid with snachmi, where obviously the minig is to be machme. So again, you don't have to eat every single thing on your plate. You're not mechuyev to finish up everything. If you can, it's wonderful. The biskarov would make sure every morsel of food was completely finished. Peseder, it's a chumrah, but there's no halacha that you have to finish everything on your plate. So cut up half an apple is not a problem. Freezing food, which obviously contains peyrus shvius and Yerokos, is not a problem. As long as it doesn't ruin it, you can make whatever you want to make. You can freeze it for Yom Tov or freeze it for the next time you need it without a problem, because it doesn't ruin it in any other way. Another halacha. You're not mechuyev to save something from becoming ruined. So let's say, for example, let's say the chicken soup, as we'll explain in a moment, let's say the chicken soup is Kedusha Shi'is. Does that mean that when I finish serving the chicken soup, let's say Sunday leftovers, I might have to go now and put everything back in the fridge in case that it will get ruined? No, I can leave it out, let it get ruined by itself, and then chuck it out afterwards when it's completely ruined. I have got no obligation to start saving. If this person goes, for example, in the shop and he sees Kedusha Shi'is on the floor in the makolet, he's got no need to start picking it up because, oh, this is Kedusha Shi'is and it's hefsud or whatever. I've got no need to save it. My halacha is not to ruin it. So as long as I'm not positively ruining it, then I haven't got a problem. Another example, tasting food while you're cooking. So when you do that, most times, again, depending on what you're cooking, if it's raw, is you're going to taste it to see what the salt and pepper and seasoning is like, and then you'll spit it out. What's the halacha if it includes Kedusha Shi'is fruits and vegetables? The halacha is you're allowed to do that, even though it gets ruined. Why? Because that is called the normal thing to do. And that's what we'll see is the Yisoy Behilcha Shmita, is you're just going to do the normal thing. Nothing crazy, nothing abnormal, just things that are normal. And therefore, it's a normal thing to taste. I don't know, whatever it is that you're tasting, even if it's raw, and you're going to chuck it out, that's a normal thing, and that's not called a hefsed to Kedusha Shi'is. Another halacha is, for example, is to tie up the rubbish bin in a way that, obviously, in the heat, for example, if you, like we'll learn in a minute, if you're going to keep it in the marpeset, is it's going to get much quicker to become ruined. There's no problem with that. You're allowed to tie it up, even though the heat inside will cause it to get ruined quicker. That's not going to be a problem. Giving food to children. So people get nervous. Are you allowed to give food? Are you not allowed to give food? This is half the reason why people don't buy Kedusha Shvi'is in the house. So the real halacha is very, very simple. Obviously, we have to mechanech our children, if they're of the age, to treat Kedusha Shvi'is food with the proper manner, which is, again, as I mentioned, is a wonderful thing to do. Once we've taught them what to do, or if they're too young and they can't figure that out, we're allowed to give them whenever they want to eat. We should try, say, the poiskim, is make a calculation of how much they'll need. Don't give them too much. Give them whatever they'll eat. If they start eating it and wasting it, that's okay. Because that is called a normal way of eating of a child. A child eats. A child takes it, smushes it, a child takes it and throws it. That's a normal thing of a child. And that is called the derech achila of a child. And therefore, there's no problem with wasting it when you give it to a child. Now, obviously, if you see the child taking the banana and smearing it all over the walls, so obviously, for many reasons, you'll want to take it away from him, including of Shmita, and that's what you should do. But again, there's no problem. A person doesn't have to be nervous. You give a child something to eat and he throws some of it out. He throws it out from the high chair. He throws it here, there, and everywhere. There's nothing to worry about. As long as you've made a calculation how much you've given him and you've taken it away from him when you see him ruining it, there's nothing to worry about more than that. Let's move on. Cooking. How are you allowed to cook fruits and vegetables that have Kedusha Shvi'is? So there's one simple general rule for most halachas, again, that we're saying, and that is whatever is considered to be normal. If it's a normal thing to cook, then you're allowed to cook it. By the way, cooking doesn't mean only cooking. It includes baking, it includes frying, it includes any type of cooking is the same. Even though by Shabbos, for example, we know that if something is cooked, you're not allowed to bake it, or something is baked, you're not allowed to cook it, which is with the shiloh putting croutons in a soup on Shabbos and whatever. But here by Shmita, there's no such halacha. Once something is cooked, I can bake it. Once it's baked, I can cook it. There's no halacha with changing the method of cooking. However, if it's something that's not normally cooked, it's a problem and you're not allowed to cook it. So for example, take things that are not normally cooked. I don't know, let's say somebody wants to make, for some funny reason, watermelon soup. So to make watermelon soup on Shmita, we're using Shmita watermelons, would obviously be a problem. This is something that's not normally cooked. Whereas things like cherries are something that are normally cooked. They're normally put together with, sometimes you put it together with a kegel, sometimes you make a sauce with it to go over a cake. All sorts of methods of cooking that's a normal thing for a person to do is normal, that, and you're allowed to do that during a Shmita without a problem at all. If you cook something that's not meant to be cooked, it is a problem of wasting. It's as if you are wasting that food, and it must be avoided when using Shmita produce. Now, if you go to somebody's house and you see that they did the wrong thing, they cooked something that's normally raw, or they're eating something raw that's normally cooked, which is also a shaila, so you're allowed to eat it. There's no halacha that if you did it wrong, I'm not allowed to eat it. I've got no problem, I'm allowed to eat it. Something that's normally raw and cooked, for example, onions. So onions are normally eaten raw and cooked, and therefore I'm allowed to do whatever I want with onions. Other things also apply to the same halacha as well. Whatever's normally done both, you could do both with that without a problem. Tomatoes, for example, many people eat it raw in a salad, many people cook it with meat, all sorts of things, and therefore tomatoes are another example of things that can always be cooked. Cucumbers you have to be careful of. Obviously these things are not cooked. And again, going down the list, everyone can figure out on their own what's a normal thing, what's not a normal thing. There is a shaila by an onion. For example, most people from our generation for sure don't eat raw onions. And in the olden generation, they used to bite into raw onions. That was a normal thing they did. Nowadays we don't do that. So the question is, yes, we eat raw onions, but we only eat it in a salad. We'll never eat it by itself. So the question is whether or not we're allowed to eat a raw onion. It is a question. We are makel and we are allowed to eat onions raw, because it's a normal thing for people to have, even though it's only done inside a salad. Let's continue. To cook a vegetable in a soup, for example, where the vegetable will be thrown out. Very, very applicable to spices. Sometimes you put certain types of seasoning, spices and vegetables in a soup, or in, for example, you're making meat for yontov, and you want to put something in. Nobody's going to eat that vegetable. You're going to throw it straight out into the bin. You're only using it to absorb the taste from the vegetable into the soup, into the meat, or whatever you're doing. That is okay. You're allowed to do that with Kedusha Shvi'is, even though at the end of the cooking process, you're going to be taking it out and putting it into the bin. That's not a problem whatsoever. Putting things into cake, similar halacha as well. Things that normally baked into cake, fruits and vegetables with Kedusha Shvi'is, whether it be cherries, whether it be pineapples, all sorts of things. There's no problem whatsoever of cooking it with and putting it into cakes. People do orange rind, all these lemon rind, all these sorts of things into cake. You squeeze oranges into cake, lemon, all these sorts of things. There's no problem whatsoever, as long as you can still taste it. If you can't taste it, say the poskim, the problem is as if you wasted it, and obviously wasting it is a problem. So therefore, it should be done in a way that you can taste it, and then there's obviously going to be no problem. Now, that leads us on to the next situation, and that is, what is the halacha with the taste of Kedusha Shvi'is? Let's say, for example, like this. Let's say you make a batch of chicken, and in this chicken you're going to place potatoes and onions that have Kedusha Shvi'is. Or let's say a chicken soup. You're making a chicken soup, and you're using carrots and celery that have Kedusha Shvi'is. What is the halacha of your soup? So the same halacha applies by basar v'chalav and by other things that are asa. We all know when you take a potato from a container of meat that it was cooked with, this potato has 100% meat, without a question. The same thing applies by Shemitah, very interesting, that I can actually have chicken which is Kedusha Shvi'is. So until now we understand that Kedusha Shvi'is means on Peiros and Yerokos and fruits and vegetables. All of a sudden I can have a piece of meat which is Kedusha Shvi'is. How so? Simple. If you make onions and potatoes and carrots and you cook it together with the meat for Yom Tov, so your meat gets the taste of the vegetables, your meat is now Kedusha Shvi'is. So any halacha that we mentioned previously and we're going to mention of ruining it is the same halacha to that piece of chicken, to the same piece of steak, to the same piece of meat, whatever you're going to be making, is the same halacha. The exception to the rule is, what do you do with the water that you cook up potatoes, right? You have, imagine you're making up roast, making potatoes, you're boiling up potatoes, what do you do with all the water? There's no question about it, the water has got the taste of the potatoes. So the halacha is anything that's normally thrown out, you're allowed to throw out without a problem, even though it gets the taste because it's normally thrown out. So therefore, for example, you have the juice of the olives, or the juice that is cooked together with potatoes, since nobody normally eats that, you're allowed to chuck it out without a problem. However, meat, chicken, all these sorts of things that are cooked together with your fruits and vegetables of Kedusha Shvi'is have to be treated with Kedusha Shvi'is, because again, they will makabel the tam, and therefore you have to be careful. Next halacha, what about the kelim? What about the utensils, bliyas in the kelim? Do we say that the bliya of Shvi'is, the bliya of Kedusha Shvi'is, goes inside the kli and therefore can come out next time? For example, let's take it something that we know on a regular daily basis. If you cook, for example, pasta in a meaty pan, for sure if it's a ben yomai, so everybody knows you can't use that pasta with cheese. If you did, it's okay. But why are you not allowed to do that? Because the taste from the meat goes out into the pasta. That we understand. We understand that there's a bliya, there's an absorbed taste from the food that it was cooked in the pot into the walls of the pot, which eventually comes back out again. So here's the question. You're dealing with Kedusha Shvi'is. So right now, this morning, you want to make yourself, for example, potatoes that are Kedusha Shvi'is for whatever you're going to be making. This afternoon, you want to cook something in there that does not have Kedusha Shvi'is. Now what? Does the new thing that you're taking take on the Kedusha Shvi'is taste because what you made previously within 24 hours was cooked Kedusha Shvi'is or not? There's a tremendous machoikis in the poskim la halacha we are makel, and we say that we're not worried about the taste that's absorbed inside the actual pot. We're not worried about that, even if it's a ben yomai, even if it's an onion. For example, you cut an onion with a knife that was previously used for an onion of Kedusha Shvi'is. And at the end of Shemitah, you're already finished with your Kedusha Shvi'is, you've had enough, and you're buying now all from Chutz Laretz. So now you're having an onion that is a non-Kedusha Shvi'is. Do we have to be worried when you cut the onion, or we normally are worried when using a meaty knife or a milky knife, that the onion will obviously absorb the taste? Over here, we're not worried. By Shemitah, we're not worried about the taste, for reasons obviously that we can't go into. The only exception here is Issa. If, for example, this is, again, maybe it's not Nageya so much to you, but the Bochum, for example, that I teach, this is, for them, it's an every single Shabbat situation. They go into people's houses where people are cooking things that are not 100% correct. Either they're buying from Heta Mechira, or they're doing things, there's all sorts of problems that go on. So the question is, are they allowed to eat from those things? Even though, for example, this fellow from Katamon that said to me that he's going to go to his grandparents, and his grandparents said, okay, maybe we'll make an exception for you, and we'll buy it for you, we'll buy special badat. It doesn't really help. Because if his pots have inside them an absorbed taste of svichim, that we mentioned last time what that was, or of things that we don't hold to be correct, that is a problem, and that will affect the food in that way. Whereas for us, in Kedusha Shvi'is foods that we have in our kitchen, we're not worried about the bli and the taste that it will give for the next time I cook inside. Squeezing and blending fruits and vegetables, what's the halacha? So whatever's normal is mutter. I don't know, the Americans seem to say that there's such a thing called a smoothie which is made from vegetables. I never heard of such a thing. Maybe everybody here knows that something is a common thing. I don't know. I never heard of a smoothie out of a vegetable, but apparently it seems to be a very common thing amongst the Americans. Don't know. But if it's a normal thing to squeeze, it's a normal thing to blend, it's a normal thing to mash, there is no problem. You're allowed to do it with Kedusha Shvi'is produce. If it's not a normal thing, then it's a problem. How about if it's not normal, but it's normal for a child? Let's say a banana. It's not a normal thing to mash a banana. I mean, you do it for a cake or whatever, but it's not a normal thing to do. But for a child, for a young child who wants a mashed banana, obviously that's what we do. So, or for an old person, for example. So in that situation, you're allowed to do it for him, but not for anybody else. Again, the klal is what's normal is mutter, what's not normal is going to be awesome. The same thing by squeezing. very applicable to squeezing things into cakes and lemon onto fish and all these sorts of halachas. Whatever is normal is mutter. So obviously oranges and lemons and these things which are normally always squeezed, there's no problem whatsoever. The shayla in the poskim is, what about squeezing kiwis, and what about making carrot juice, and what about all these sorts of things? The Chazan Ish was machmeh, and the Chazan Ish held that you're only allowed to squeeze oranges and lemons, in other words, citrus fruits, and most poskim are makel, and we paskin la halacha, we can be makel, and we can squeeze anything that's normal, for example, carrots, for example, kiwi, for example, mango. All of the things nowadays have become so widespread to squeeze come on anything, and therefore it would generally be mutter to squeeze all sorts of things during Shmita with Kedusha Shvi'is. Peeling is the same halacha as well. You're only allowed to peel things that are normally peeled. If, for example, your child is too young to take grapes, so what you do is, and this is a very common thing, is you peel the grape, because obviously the child that has the skin of the grape is more of a problem for them to chew it and digest it. That will be osa during Shmita, because it's not a normal thing to do. Maybe for a child we could be maker and say for a child it is normal, then you can do it. But for an adult, for sure, it's a problem to peel anything, which is obviously a major shaila for people that are machmir during Pesach. To start peeling all sorts of tomatoes and everything else that they do is a shayla if it's allowed to be done during Shemitah. But again, if it's normal, then it's mutter. Now, here comes the next shayla. What do we do with all our leftovers of Kedusha Shvi'is? We'll get in a moment to what is considered to be leftovers and what needs to be chucked out in the regular bin and what doesn't. But at the moment, what are we dealing with over here? So there's two problems with putting regular Kedusha Shvi'is produce or fruits and vegetables in the regular bin. What's the problem? Problem number one is it's a bizayin. It's not nice, this is Kedusha Shvi'is, to take an item with Kedusha Shvi'is and to put it in the regular bin with all the leftovers and all the horrible things that are over there that are rotting, that are on the way to rotting, with a whole mess of there. It's just not nice. It's a bizarre to Kedusha Shvi'is. That's reason number one. Reason number two is it's considered to be, when you put it into the regular bin, hefsed should be a dime. Why? Because everybody knows, what do they do with the bin afterwards? They take it from you, and they'll either crush it, or they'll burn it, or they'll put it into a huge pile of rotting rubbish already. Which means, either you're doing it, or you're being mashal somebody else, as Jewish people that collect it, and they're going to be doing it. Therefore, we have two problems with putting Kedusha Shvi'is, fruits and vegetables, in a regular bin. Because of this, became the halacha and the minhag for people to have a special Shmitah bin, or box, for those people that don't like to call it a bin. But say that you have a Shmitah bin, you have a Shmitah box in your house, most people like to keep it under marpeset. It's a very good eitzah, because obviously it starts to smell after a while, and therefore it keeps it outside without a problem. Now, what you need to do in that situation is, generally, is you need to continuously change the bag. It doesn't have to be every single 5 minutes. But for example, if today you start putting in things what you cook today, by the time you come tomorrow afternoon to put something else in there, so the first things are already starting to rot, and therefore when you're putting the new things in, you're ruining them by putting them into the bin. So what you need to do is put a new bag in. Either, now some people have new bags, some people have new bins, right? It's a common question people ask themselves over Shmitev is, you know, how many Shmitev bins do you have? Some people, I know somebody wanted to come up with the whole thing, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and therefore, you know, every single day put it in. Okay, you don't have to. If you have a Shmitah bin, as long as nothing is rotting in there, you can continue putting inside. Once things start to rot, then obviously you have to open up yourself a new bag and put something in. I asked Rabbi Zul Orbach Shlita, I said, it's very difficult. It's hard to have a Shmitah bin, start running through my pestle every single time you peel a carrot. It's difficult. So he said to me like this, B'shem his father, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, that if it's difficult for a person to have a Shmitah bin, then you are allowed to put it in a regular bin if you wrap it up first. Just like the halacha we know for Trumas HaMaisa, the halacha of Havashas Chala, we're allowed to wrap it up in the regular bin. We don't lechatchila do that by Shmita, but if we haven't got any other eights and it's difficult for us with kids, this, that, and the other, then of course we could be make them wrap it up, put it into the regular bin. But lechatchila, the minig is most people do have a Shmita bin, and again, wonderful, wonderful chinuch for the children. Let's continue. Which rubbish has to be put into the Shmita bin? So now we have an idea of what the Shmita bin is. What do we have to put there, and what can we put in the regular Shmita bin? So the klal is, anything that is edible for ourselves or for animals has to be put into the Shmita bin. Anything that's completely not edible for us or for animals can be put into the regular bin. So for example, onion peels. You peel an onion, the outer layer of the onion, the outer layer of the garlic, is completely not edible. Nobody eats that, not a human being, not a behemoth, not an animal. That can be chucked completely and regularly in the normal bin without a problem. The same thing applies to things like avocado peels. Things that are not edible, nobody eats them. Banana peels, nobody eats these things, right? Even orange peels, even though it's interesting, there are people that make, you know, recipes with orange rind and lemon rind, but most people don't eat orange peels. So you'll tell me the obvious shyness, what do you do with chocolate-covered orange peels? You see that people do eat them. The answer is, if anyone learned any halachas, and this is what you learned by Schmitter, is the chocolate-covered orange peels never saw an orange peel in their life. They're not real orange peel. It's called an orange peel, but it's not real orange peel. But anyway, the halacha is anything that's unedible is allowed to go in the regular bin. So you peel a banana, you peel an avocado, you peel things like that. There is no problem with Kedusha Shviz. You can check it out in the regular way. The same halacha is with pits and seeds. If it's edible, it's a problem and it has to go into the Shmita bin. If it's not edible, then you can put it into the regular bin. So for example, watermelon seeds that you get from a regular watermelon and melon seeds, cantaloupe, all these sorts of things, obviously they have Kedusha Shviz because they are edible. It not doesn't mean that we actually eat them, but animals do eat them and they can be eaten, and therefore they must be put into the regular Shmita bin. Olives, peaches, plums, the pits from those do not have Kedusha Shviz. Obviously a pit from an olive cannot be eaten by anyone. The problem is, obviously, is that when you take it out of the olive, often you have a lot of fruit together with it. And therefore, if it's got a nice amount of fruit together with it, same thing applies when you have a peach or a plum, and you take out the pit and it has with it a nice layer of fruit, so obviously chuck the whole thing into the Shmita bin. If it has not got much fruit, even a little bit, it's okay. A little bit is nothing to worry about. You can put it into the regular bin and you don't have to worry. Apple seeds, avocado seeds, apricot seeds, all of these can be chucked out normally, because again, simple, nobody eats these things, they generally don't come off with a lot of fruit, and therefore there's no problem whatsoever. What about washing dishes? So we mentioned you're not mechuyev to finish up everything on the plate. So now that leads us to the next question. So now you're taking it into the kitchen. What do I have to do now? To start scraping everybody's leftovers and put it into the Shmita bin? A ganze esek. So when a maestro first can say simple. If the normal amount that you would never normally gather together and put into the bin, you can chuck that away normally. Which means, when you're rinsing out a plate from the leftovers of cucumber salad or coleslaw salad or fruit salad, whatever, you've got a couple of strands of cucumbers, a couple of strands of coleslaw, that's not a problem. You can put that straight down the sink, that's not a problem. If it's the amount that you would gather up, because it's the amount that you wouldn't normally chuck away in the sink because it's a nice amount, and you'd put it into the bin, so you have to do the same thing by Shmita, and you have to put it into the Shmita bin, obviously, because it has Kedusha Shviz. But again, if it's an amount that's not, you can be makel and you can put it into the regular bin. Feeding non-Jewish people Kedusha Shviz, fruits and vegetables, is a problem. It must not be done. It's darshan from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that only we, Jewish people, have to eat them. Non-Jewish people must not be eating Kedusha Shviz payers. Which obviously leads us to the shaila of what do you do when you have a cleaner? If you have a cleaner or a living in the house and they want to eat fruits and vegetables, you want to give them a plate of apple or whatever it is, so the poskim say there is no problem with that. Right now they're working for me in my house. I'm not giving it to them as a payment. I'm giving it to them as a gesture, and therefore there's no problem with giving goyim Kedusha Shviz. His payers, obviously the leftovers that they have, you have to make sure that it goes into the Shmita bin, depending on obviously how much it is. Another common shaila, schoira. There is an issa for a person to do business with Shmita produce. What does that mean to do business with Shmita produce? Doing business means, obviously, if you're a farmer or you're a shopkeeper, if you own a shop, that's called doing business with Kedusha Shviz. Buying from a shop also is considered to be a chelik of doing a schoira, which means if you're in an area and they're selling Kedusha Shviz not correctly, in other words, they're selling it for regular money, not like the Utsa Beis Din where they're taking the money only for the work, so you are not allowed to buy there. Why? Because when you buy there, you are causing him to be over on an issa of schoira, and obviously that's the issa of lifnei iver l'sita michshol. Causing somebody else to stumble and do an aveira. So obviously that's another reason to be careful where we buy our fruits and vegetables from, especially when we're outside Yerushalayim, we're going on Tiulim, Ben Asmanim, people are buying from here, there and everywhere. If they're selling it, if they're Jewish and they're selling it in a way that should not be sold, then to buy from him is going to be a problem. Another example of doing business with Kedusha Shviz is repaying your debts. Which simply means, if you owe someone money, or you owe someone something, and you give it to them, so I'm paying off my debt with Kedusha Shviz. That is a type of business. How does this apply to us? Very simple. If you borrow fruits and vegetables from your neighbor, what's the halacha? So for example, common situation, you go and borrow a potato, you go and borrow an onion from the neighbor. Now you want to repay it. What's the halacha? So, simply speaking, what should happen is, it should be awesome. Why? I borrowed an onion, I owe him an onion. So if I owe him an onion, and I'm going to give him back an onion, what am I doing? I'm paying my debts with Kedusha Shviz. That is awesome. That is a problem to do that. So what do we do during Shmita when you borrow things? So there's three basic ideas we could be making, three advice that the post can give us. Number one is, if you borrowed Kedusha Shvi'is fruits or vegetables and you're returning Kedusha Shvi'is fruits and vegetables, there's nothing to worry about, then you can do it. It's like Kiddush, I'm swapping one from the other. And the problem is, if sometimes you borrow one that is not Kedusha Shvi'is and you're paying him back with Kedusha Shvi'is, obviously that will be the problem. So number one is, if you're borrowing Kedusha Shvi'is and you're giving him back Kedusha Shvi'is, that's okay. Eitzah number two is to say to the person when you're borrowing it, is it's a matana, meaning I'm taking this to you, I'm lending this to you as a present, and when you give it back, it's also a present. This way I'm not mechuyev, I'm not obligated to give it back to them. I'm giving it back as a matana, as a present. And a present, I'm allowed to give Kedusha Shvi'is as a present. That's not a problem of paying back a person's debts. Whereas if you don't borrow as a present, you are chayev, you're obligated to give it to them. That will obviously be a problem of paying back your debts with Kedusha Shvi'is. So that's eitzah number two, is to say, when you lend people fruits and vegetables, or when you borrow, they should say that you're giving it as a present, it's being received as a present, and therefore when you pay it back, it is also a present. Eitzah number three, Rabbi Israel Orbach told me, b'shem his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal, that Rabbi Yashiv held that if it's a small amount, you can always be maker. And this is, by the way, a chal godl all throughout all the years, and that is obviously a shayla of ribbis. There's always a shayla involved in ribbis. When you borrow an apple, you borrow a banana, you borrow an onion, and you repay it back with something that's bigger than that. Shayla of ribbis, are you giving them back something more than you received? So again, the Rav Yashiv said that there's no problem with something small. People are not makbid. What does that mean? If your neighbor borrowed an onion from you, nobody's going to take their neighbor to a din Torah because of that. Therefore, they're not really obligated. Obviously, neighbors give back to one another, but they're not really chayiv to do so. That being the case, when it comes to Shmita, no problem. Off you go. You can borrow. You can give it back. If it's a small amount, there's nothing to worry about. That's what the post can say. But again, the middle eights is normally the best one, and that is to tell everybody it's a matana. I'm giving it to you as a matana. It's a present without a shayla. When they give it back to you, then accept it as a present. Another example of this is Shlachmanos. Again, coming up very, very soon when it comes to Purim, all the Kedusha Shvi'is new fruits are all over the place, all the dried fruits. You'll see tons of stuff that's Kedusha Shvi'is. Are you allowed to use Kedusha Shvi'is for Shlachmanos or not? So the Poskim say the first one that you give, which is your mitzvah, should not be used with Kedusha Shvi'is fruits or vegetables, because you're mekayim, your chiyuv, your obligation with Kedusha Shvi'is. It's a type of business, it's a type of paying back your chayvus. And therefore, again, there are those that are meiko, but there are many Poskim that say you should not give Kedusha Shvi'is for Shlachmanos. That's number one. The second shlachmanos that you give, and all the ones after that, obviously you can give with Kedusha Shvi'is, because once you've given one, you become your mitzvah of shlachmanos. The ones you do afterwards are just to be moistav on the mitzvah, which obviously you're allowed to do. Another situation is when somebody gives you a shlachmanos, so what do? If we weren't prepared for them, so we start scrambling into the house to try and find something that somebody gave us and change around the label in order to give it back to them and anyone realize. Now, to do that with Kedusha Shvi'is is also, because again, I feel I have an obligation to give you back, and I'm giving you back Kedusha Shvi'is, it's a problem, and therefore should not be used with Kedusha Shvi'is. Obviously, by the way, we're not going into shlachmanos now, but if you've got 14 different types of foods inside there, and two of them happen to be Kedusha Shvi'is, there's obviously not going to be a problem there, because you're yotzer with two monos with two foods anyway. So if you've got also in there chocolate and a drink and also some fruit, there's no problem with Kedusha Shvi'is, even if it's the first one. So that's the halacha of doing business. Similar to the halacha of doing business is the halacha we mentioned right in the beginning, which is an interesting one, and that is the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us that when a person buys Kedusha Shvi'is fruits or vegetables, what happens to the 5 shekel that he paid the shop for that Kedusha Shvi'is fruits or vegetable? So the Mishnah tells us that that 5 shekel becomes Kedusha Shvi'is. It's a very, very interesting halacha. We find it in different halachas as well. But here we find it very interesting. It's actually very practical to us that the 5 shekel that you use to pay for your mango that has Kedusha Shvi'is becomes Kedusha Shvi'is. The actual money itself. Now again, you have to know what that means. If you're going, for example, into a shop that are selling oitzer based in food, there's nothing to worry about, because you're not paying for the food, you're paying for the labor, you're paying for the transportation. So if you're buying, for example, and you go to the makolet and you see they're selling you oitzer based in cucumbers or whatever, so there's no problem with the money. But if you go into a shop outside Yerushalayim, you go to a shop in other places where they'll be selling Kedusha Shvi'is, let's say Peiros Nochri, very, very common, they're selling produce that belong to Goyim. So we said in Yerushalayim, most poskim are meiko, we treat it non-Kedusha Shvi'is. Outside Yerushalayim, everybody's machmir. And therefore, when you're buying this cucumber, this banana, you are buying something that has Kedusha Shvi'is, and therefore the money that you buy will be Kedusha Shvi'is. It applies even if we're not buying Kedusha Shvi'is. What about, for example, if they're selling in a shop, Heter Mechira, right? Most places outside of the Haimisha area, they will be selling all fruits and vegetables of Heter Mechira. Now, our Hashkofa is, we're not Soy Mechonit, Kach is the Hachro of the Gedoli Yisrael. We're not getting into Bashar Sadchak. What happens if a person goes to a place to eat with Heter Mechira? But Stam, generally, Chatchela, we try not to eat Heter Mechira. We don't hold that the Mechira is Chal, for whatever reason that we're not going into at this moment. Therefore, the people that are buying Heter Mechira fruits and vegetables in their supermarket are buying Kedusha Shvi'is fruits and vegetables, which has no difference to us. We don't care what they do, it doesn't bother us. But what does bother us is that the 5 shekel that they use to pay for their vegetables is now sitting in the till. The problem is, when I go inside and I buy myself a packet of crisps, or buy myself a bottle of Coca-Cola when I'm traveling on the way, Ben Ezmanim, so now I have a problem. If I get that 5 shekel, what do I do with it? It's Kedusha Shvi'is 5 shekel. The halacha is you have to buy with this money, Kedusha, you have to buy food, whatever food you want. You can buy biscuits, you can buy drinks, you can buy whatever you want, and you eat it as Kedusha Shvi'is. If you bought with it non-food, you have to spend more money and also buy it as Kedusha Shvi'is. It's very, very complicated. So what do? So the poskim say it's a tremendous kula, but the poskim say we can rely on the roiv. That means if the shop are selling the majority of items are not Kedusha Shvi'is, I don't have to worry what's in the till. If they're selling mostly Kedusha Shvi'is, then I do. So for example, if you go into a grocery and they're selling, come on, everything is Kedusha Shvi'is over there. Also, they sell ice creams. You know, they have a freezer outside, they sell some ice creams. You want to buy yourself an ice cream. So since roiv of the shop is Kedusha Shvi'is, the money that you buy, you get change from that, is Kedusha Shvi'is. That's not a problem. You're allowed to use it, but only for food, and you eat that food as Kedusha Shvi'is. Now, okay, so that's halacha over there. If roiv of the shop is not Kedusha Shvi'is, as is the case in most supermarkets where they're selling everything that's not Kedusha Shvi'is, they have also a section of fruits and vegetables, then I don't have to worry. By the way, this applies in chutzlaretz as well. People that are going in different shops in chutzlaretz, like Tesco's and all these places, where they will be selling over there, maybe, oranges, for example, that come from Eretz Yisrael, which obviously have Kedusha Shvi'is, so we have the same problem. There's no difference. People don't even realize such a thing. The 1 pound change that you get from the till over there is also a shaila of whether it's Kedusha Shvi'is, but again, we're going by Suroiv, and since the majority of these shops are not Kedusha Shvi'is, there's generally nothing to worry about in that situation. One more thing, and that is, when it comes to these things, is a lot of people like to give exact change or use credit cards or checks when they go to these places to get out of the whole shaila. I must tell you, there are poskim that are very machmeh, and they say that every single coin inside the till is Kedusha Shvi'is. I don't care what they're selling in the shop. If they're selling 1 section of apples and 4 million sections of everything else, it doesn't make a difference. There are poskim that are machmeh, and they say that every coin is Kedusha Shvi'is, and because of that, many people, when they go to shops that are selling Kedusha Shvi'is, for that reason, like to get exact change, or, you know what, take the shekel, I'm not interested in the shekel, I'm not going to use it, because it's Kedusha Shvi'is, and therefore that's where you get out of the whole shaila. But again, if you do get into the situation, you're allowed to use the money, you use it as for food, and you eat the food as Kedusha Shvi'is. Taking food with Kedusha Shvi'is to Chutz La'aretz is an Issa, for reasons obviously that go back to the Mishnayos in Shvi'is that tell us you're not allowed to take it out of Eretz Yisrael, you're only allowed to eat it here in Eretz Yisrael and nowhere else. Which obviously the main shaila involved in that is what happens when a person goes away on holiday, or you bring back Ben Ezmanim for Yontif, and you want to take for you, or you want to take for the kids, you'd like to take some sandwiches, you want to take some kind of vegetables. What's the halacha with Kedusha Shvi'is? The halacha is, say the poskim is, you're allowed to take whatever you need for the journey, even bikula. If you're going to eat in a Chutz La'aretz, for example, let's say you know you're having a stopover in Cyprus for an hour or two, and for sure you're going to be starving, and then you'll get a time to eat the lunch. So even though you know you're going to eat in a Chutz La'aretz, it's more to whatever you need for the journey is allowed. You're allowed to take it with Kedusha Shvi'is. But Stam, you shouldn't start taking all sorts of fruits and vegetables to Chutz La'aretz, because we know that the tomatoes and everything here have more Kedusha. We want to mezaka the olive in Chutz La'aretz time Kedusha Shvi'is. That we shouldn't do. Flowers when it comes to Kedusha Shvi'is. So, flowers, most of the flowers that we buy and that people will be buying for Shabbos generally do not have Kedusha Shvi'is, for the reason is because they don't have a nice smell, or they're not made for the smell. They're made for the beautification, they're made to put on your table and look nice. If that's true, then they do not have Kedusha Shvi'is, and therefore you can chuck them out after Shabbos regularly. It's not a problem whatsoever, even if they were picked during Shvi'is. If, for example, they have a nice smell, there are poskim that are machme, and if they have a nice smell, they have Kedusha Shvi'is, which is not a problem, but just put into the Shmita bin. But most of the flowers we're buying will not have a good smell. We're not buying it for the smell, we're not interested in the smell, and therefore we can be maker and treat them as non-Kedusha Shvi'is, and therefore chuck them in the regular bin after they have been used and after we're finished with them. One ha'ora on flowers is people are very makpid to buy flowers with a Heksha. It's something that we don't generally see all the other years. And at Baruch Hashem, everything is becoming with Heksha. We have phones with Heksha. We have shaitels with Heksha. So now we're having flowers with Heksha as well. So you'll see a lot of the shops that have flowers will be having certificates in Heksha to show that they are kosher. What does that mean? What do we care if it's kosher or not? So the answer is simple. We don't know where this flower came from. It could very well be that somebody actually planted this flower during Shemitah. And if they planted it during the seventh year, how can we use such a thing? We can't have a law from it. Or maybe they worked on it, they watered it, maybe they pruned it, maybe they did all the things that were osa, and therefore that's the reason why we buy with a Heksha. People in America, and Chutzlaritz, I think it's more common in America than it is in England, that for example, there's approximately 30% of flowers in America all come from Eretz Yisrael. People don't even know that. And even if you do know, it's hard to figure out exactly what you're buying. The Poskim in America have said that when people are buying flowers in America during the Shemitah year, they should ask where it's coming from. You should ask them where it is to look at the box. And if it says it comes from Cyprus and Turkey, nothing to worry about. Whereas if it comes from Eretz Yisrael, there's a question of what to do with it, if you're allowed to buy it or not. But again, it's only 30%, which means Basar Roiv, the majority is not a problem. But again, we're not going into that too much of that shayla at this moment of time. Let's move on to one of the last halachas, and that halacha is Bia, which means... There's a halacha means as follows. The Torah tells us, so we've posuk in the Torah, that as long as the animals have what to eat in the fields, we are allowed to eat Kedusha Shvi'is in our houses. However, the moment the animals have nothing to eat in the field, we have to stop eating Kedusha Shvi'is in our house. What does that mean? What it means is, very practically speaking, towards the end of Shemitah, or even more applicable to the eighth year, which is a year from now, after Rosh Hashanah, there will be fruits and vegetables that will stop to grow, meaning there will be nothing left. The season is finished, and therefore there's nothing left for the animals. At that time, we have to get rid of all of our fruits and vegetables that are in our house and have Kedusha Shvi'is. Included in that is anything we have in the freezer, anything we have in the fridge that has Kedusha Shvi'is, that was cooked together with Kedusha Shvi'is. You can have cakes, you can have meat, you can have all sorts of things, as we mentioned previously, that get a Kedusha Shvi'is. And if it was cooked with that, then you have a problem when it comes to the Zman of Bia. So what does Bia mean? What do we have to do? So some Rishonim, and this is Poshup Shad, is you do Bia, like Bia Chomets. What do you do by Bia Chomets? You take it out and you burn it. That's what the Rambam holds. The Rambam holds, you take out your Kedusha Shvi'is, fruits and vegetables, you take your cakes and your meat and everything else that you made, you make a ganza fire outside, and that's it. That's what you do. We do not paskin that way. We paskin that all we need to do is take it outside our house and be mafkir it. That's what we do. Now, we're not going to go too much in the halacha because it's applicable in a year time, but it's something to realize that in a year's time, Be'erech, when there comes this man of Bia, very often by Chanukah, next year is this Zman Mubia, many, many different things. We don't know when it is, which is why we have no charts and we have no dates to figure out when things are. It depends on each year, it depends on the season, it depends on the rain. Each year carries with it its own date, and we will eventually find out through the year when this Zman Mubia. So for example, when the day comes that they'll tell you, apples have finished in the field. What does that mean? It means you've got to take your apples, you can leave aside and apples that you have, if the amount that you need for three meals, whatever you need for your family of three meals, you can leave behind. The rest you've got to take outside. You've got to be mafkirit. You go in front of three people. Your husband goes in front of three people and he says, I'm being mafkirit. Anyone can take it, and then he picks it up and takes it back into the house. No problem. He can take it back for himself. He has to treat it still as Kedusha Shvi'is. It's still got Kedusha Shvi'is, even though it's not yet the Shemitah yet. It's our year after the Shemitah. It's still got Kedusha Shvi'is. That's what we do. So again, a person has to make a cheshbon. If you're cooking things and you're putting them into the freezer and you're storing them, make a cheshbon what's got Kedusha Shvi'is, because you'll have to do Bia when this man of Bia comes. If you don't do Bia and you miss it, as we mentioned previously, the halacha of a person that got a shlachmonis from Kedusha Shvi'is wine and grape juice that was well after this man of Bia, the halacha is you're not allowed to eat that food or vegetable. It's asa bahana, you can't eat it at all. You've got to put it into the shmita bin and get rid of it. That's why it's very important just to remember this halacha, such halacha exists, so when it does come to this man of Bia, Eid Hashem will be a long time from now, at least a half a year to a year, so then we'll have to be worried about what to do with the yesodos of all of these things. Are there any questions with what we've mentioned so far? Yeah.
What do you think that they have to come up? The juice is edible. If people drink juice from the apple.
So you've got to make sure not to ruin the juice. It's the same thing. Don't chuck all the juice in the bin. Now, that doesn't mean you have to finish off every single thing. Anything you don't want to eat anymore, you wait till it goes bad, you put it in the shmita bin, or just put it in the shmita bin anyway. But if it's edible, you've got to put it in the shmita bin. It's a small amount that's left over the end of the cup, or the end of the bowl, that you can chuck out normally. That person's not normally makbedon to just, you know, to get every single, collect every single drop in the apple compote. Let me just finish also with the yesod that we started with as well, and that is... was brought down from Chazal, that the Golus that we're in right now, that unfortunately we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Shechina with us, one of the main reasons, apart from all the reasons that we know previously, is because of Shemitah. The Shemitah, the reason that people, that unfortunately, that we don't have the Shechina, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, is because people do not keep the Shemitah properly. So obviously it applies more to the farmers who have fields, but as we've mentioned, it applies to us as well. The halachas of Shemitah apply to us as much as anybody else, which means when we do have Shemitah in our house, we should be so careful to treat it with the Kedusha Shvi'is, because again, not doing so causes a delay in the Shechina, in the Golas that we have. The Torah asks an interesting question. The Torah says, when it comes to Shemitah, so you know, you can imagine when a person has a livelihood based on fruits and vegetables, and all of a sudden the Torah is telling him for an entire year, stop. So the Torah says, what's everybody going to ask? Everybody's going to ask, what are we going to eat? You can imagine, this is all they had to live off. You know, they sold their fruits and vegetables, they buy milk, and they sold in order to live, that's all they had. So people used to ask, the Torah says, what are we going to eat? And the Torah says, don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you a guarantee that you'll have what to eat, you'll get triple amount during the 6th year, and it will last for the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th, until you have enough time to replant and recover everything that you lost during the Shemitah year, and everything will be okay. Rav Nachum Zatzal asks a very important question on the Torah, and he asks, what is a person asking? What's the Torah trying to teach us by such a question? And he teaches us a tremendous yisod, which again is the yisod, I think, that we have to get out, and the lesson we have to learn from the Shemitah. And that is as follows. Many people, say Rav Eliashiv, are worried about things that they don't need to worry about. I'll give you an example. I was recently at a shiva, unfortunately, to Menachem Oval, by a man that recently lost his wife. And it was very, very sad. He left Nebuch for a bunch of kids. And he was saying over stories about his wife. And one of the stories that he said on his wife was as follows, which I thought was a tremendous lesson, something that we can work on. Again, this is the Yisod that Rav Eliashiv teaches us of Shemitah. And he was saying that his wife always used to say to her husband, and he was saying over the story, what are you worried about? What are you worried about? You know, the husband was worried, what's going to happen, what's going to be, this, that, and the other, illness. So she said, what are you worried about? Either nothing will happen, and then Baruch Hashem, everything's good. Or if something does happen, you're worrying for nothing, because there's nothing you can do about it anyway. And he understood that as a tremendous milo, obviously, of his wife, which obviously was, she was on a tremendous madriga. But it's his son, says Rav Eliashiv, here by Shemitah. The Torah is trying to teach us, so often are we worried about things that we don't need to be worried about. Why? What's going to happen if this? What's going to happen if that? Maybe nothing would happen. And if it does happen, we have to have bitachon and emunah in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And Shemitah teaches us this lesson. It teaches us the lesson that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is teaching us, stop being worried about things you don't need to be worried about. There's enough things that we have to be worried about, but things that we don't need to be worried about, we anticipate this might happen, and we're so nervous about what's going to be here, what's going to be there, we don't have to be worried. We have to learn to have an emunah and betochen in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I just want to say a story, it might be a famous story, but I think it drives home this point very much. There was a couple in America, a very, very modern, completely not from Bechlal, Jewish couple, and they sent their child, a young girl of 5, to a Hebrew school, not because they wanted her to have a religious and Jewish from education, but simply because that's where her friends were going, and she said that she also wants to go with her friend. They said, all right, as long as you only come home with, you know, dip the apple in the honey songs and a few Hanukkah biscuits and whatever, but nothing to worry about, you're going to change our lifestyle. And she comes home, Erev Pesach, with a beautiful, nice kosher lelio, a nice becher that she wrapped in silver, and she's, you know, decorated in a lovely way. She comes home and she says to her mother and her father, are we going to have a Pesach Seder that we can use my kosher lelio? And the father's thinking, oy vai, this is what you're coming back with. I didn't send you to that Hebrew school to start changing our lifestyle. I'm very happy with the way I am. I'm not interested in doing all these things. So she looks with such her eyes and he sees his 5-year-old daughter, and the mother looks at the father saying, come on, you're going to disappoint your daughter. So he says, all right, yeah, all right, we'll have a Pesach Seder. So when it comes to the Pesach Seder, she's anticipation for the Pesach Seder. She's got all the songs. She knows all about the Manishtana. They haven't got a clue what's going on. And he sits there, puts on his white little plastic couple, and he sits there in the night, and he starts doing all the things that he needs to do that his daughter tells him. He eats the lettuce, he eats the matzah, and eventually he gets to 12 o'clock at night and he says, you know what, enough is enough, thank you very much, I've done this plate, it's enough, thank you very much, I'm going to bed. And the little girl says to him, but you know, father, you never even used my kos yet. And he's so upset with what he's done, you know, he made this whole charade of this Pesach Seder, something which he's absolutely no interest to do, he can't stand all these things. He takes, in his anger, he takes the kos and he throws it to the floor and he goes upstairs to bed. You can imagine his daughter at that stage was tremendously upset. She was crying. And 1 o'clock in the morning, The father was tossing and turning in bed, trying to figure out, something was bothering him. He realized he upset his daughter. He realized, you know what, she's only 5 years old. Let her live, let her be happy. This is what she's happy. Let her be happy. What big harm can it do? So he decides, you know what, I'm going to go to her bedroom. I'm going to go wish her good night. I'm going to say I'm sorry. He goes to her bed. She's not there. The bed's empty. So he goes downstairs. Maybe she's still up. Maybe she's looking at something. So she sees his daughter looking outside the window. And tears are streaming down her face. And he says to her, what's the matter? And she points out the window. She says, what are you looking at? Why are you not going to bed? She says, don't you see him? He's waiting to come inside. She was standing there at 1 o'clock in the morning with tears streaming down her face because she was waiting for something that she had been taught with emuna pshuta in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that Eliyahu HaNavi is coming into her house. And she's waiting there and she can see him, almost waiting to come in. There's a tremendous emuna b'tochem that children have, and this is something that, again, I feel that Shemitah can teach us, the lesson of emuna b'tochem, even though we don't have a field and we don't have a business that we're literally stopping for the whole seventh year. But the yisoid of Shemitah is still with us, the yisoid of the lesson that it teaches us, and that is something that I think Be'ez Hashem will give us a tremendous chizuk during the year Be'ez Hashem of Shemitah. I have over here, if anybody has seen it, if anybody wants, a copy of the chart and the booklet based on the halachas that we learned, that's available if anybody wants it, the 5 shekels for both of them. Okay, save it.